Well, here we are. Welcome, citizen lobbyist.
Good morning.
And did you have a good night's sleep last night after that very interesting school board meeting?
It's been a long couple of nights.
Yes, indeed. And I've been looking forward to having this conversation because there seems to be, I mean, neither the assembly meeting, the school board meeting went very long. They weren't down to midnight or anything. But there were some significant things that were taken care of. Why don't we reach back all the way to Tuesday, though, and start with the assembly?
The assembly did meet in a regularly scheduled meeting on Tuesday. They did have on their calendar a special meeting at 4:30 to take up some information about the incorporation of Big Lake. Apparently, they didn't have a quorum, and they put a bulletin out earlier in the day that, thanks to social media, pretty much informed everybody, I think, that there would be no 4:30 meeting on Big Lake. It wasn't discussed at the meeting after, so I don't know if there's going to be a move to reschedule that meeting or if it's just off the table.
Well, wasn't there some other background information that came out that affected potentially, and I believe it was associated with the IGA store that's out there, changing of hands, and there were some concern about how that very large economic engine for Big Lake would change what they were proposing. That's what I picked up on, but I'm not sure whether that or other factors were at work, but nonetheless.
Yeah, I sort of doubt that. About the only thing that keeps the city of Houston going is fireworks stands. I mean, they did have Spinard Builders, but that's gone away. And
how about
not
Big
a lot
Lake,
of
though?
Well, Big Lake has a lot of small businesses, and so I don't know that that was a huge question in it, but that has a good outcome, too, because Three Bears is coming in. They're going to take up, have bought that store, and so that's a great credit, too. So I don't know if that played into it, but we'll see if it's discussed or there's just no appetite to weigh in on it. We'll see. They did have a regular meeting after that point, and I think all the assembly members were there, as I remember. Mr. Colligan was a wee bit late, but he did end up.
Yes,
coming
did.
In. The attorney or the manager started off by, after they pulled numerous things off the consent agenda, talking about how he addresses certain bills that are coming forth that he knows they probably will and want to weigh in on. And he's trying to get a little bit of the red or the green flag to go ahead and discuss these things as they come up. One of them is SB 64. It's regarding a moratorium that has been proposed on building more schools, like a 5-year moratorium at least. And although the school district is at the end of their school bond, they continue to get 250 kids a year. In fact, that's the only school district that's growing.
Right.
So there is some concern that there'll be a limitation on no new schools for 5 years. He talked about that. There's also a personal fisheries bill that Senator Stoltz has brought forward, SB 42. The mayor kind of brushed them both off at that point and said, let's talk about those in compromise. They did talk a little bit about the Ketchikan lawsuit that has had some play, you know, regarding how that's going to affect funding. I really don't think it's going to affect funding very much at all the way it's looking right now. But that was kind of the beginning of the meeting. They did have quite a big crowd there, Mike. As it turned out,
yes.
Most of them were there for one particular topic regarding
Willow,
right. This has been well reported. Zaz Hollander has been following it pretty close from the ADN, as has the Frontiersman. A little struggle there between the local advisory board, the fire service advisory board, and the public citizens, particularly around the Nancy Lake area that this new fire station would serve. So some really good testimony, I thought.
I also picked up, I think it was pretty obvious, that internally the fire service board has some differences of opinion.
They do. It's been pretty well documented. There's sort of an entrenched group out there that has kept those positions for quite a long time. And there's a difference upon what tax dollars and should be spent for, and also if you should go in debt for things like fire stations. You know, we had a lot of conversation in the press booth about this, going back and forth and trying to remember how the mill rate got so low. I tend to believe, and I could be wrong, I'd have to check back on this, but probably about 5 or 6 years ago, they started targeting those fire service areas to be cut down. And I think that mill rate has been cut down to the point where it is now. I don't think it's a matter, a question of it not being raised up to keep up from the times, but I'm not sure about that. But nonetheless, it's a very low mill rate. They have a very challenging area out there. And as you know, Mike, everything sort of connects to another. So there's been development allowed, subdivisions to go in, people to build, and it's sprawl. It's what you would consider sprawl. And well, it's affecting...
And the big dollar trade-off here is if you pay a little bit more for a fire service area, you will reduce what you'll be paying for your insurance.
Right, and this would affect a lot of the properties around Nancy Lake, which are the higher tax properties, too. So there is a lot of disparity. And, as you know, it is hard of the growing borough to keep up with your infrastructure needs. And there's a struggle, and there's some empire building. There's a lot of moving parts. But it sounds like what I was pleased to see, and I like to see the good part, and that is the fact the public is engaged.
Absolutely.
They're very engaged now in their fire service area. Those fire service and road service areas hardly ever get attended, any attendance. I think they're paying attention now. So at the end of the day, they did pass a resolution to take a loan, basically, out to buy a piece of property that pretty much everybody agreed. Perhaps maybe Doyle Holmes, who leads the fire service area, wasn't smitten with it, but agreed it was a good property, 85 cents a square foot, very, very reasonable facility.
What he was, my read of what he was saying is that he would agree that the property was a good deal, but he didn't think they had the money to sustain the payment into the future.
Well, they are allowed to raise the mill rate without a vote to a certain level. And I think when Mr. Halter finally did weigh in on it, he said he thought that mill rate would cover it, and that they could even have it maybe be paid off in a couple of years. But this kind of goes back to a larger problem, and that's sort of an ideology of the assembly that has been seated for the last few years, up into the last couple of elections, that have done nothing but slash property taxes, which somewhere the services must fall. Especially this year, it's going to be interesting with maybe no community revenue sharing to prop that up, and a slowdown in building perhaps, and maybe assessments haven't gone up as much. There's a lot of things in play here, and we're still waiting for a report that says when the grant money is going to expire and how that's all going to work out. So at the end of the day, there was a lot of good testimony. The resolution passed without any really discussion from the assembly until the very last, when they all said it really was the right thing to do, that they needed a new fire station out there. And so we'll see how that all shakes out when it comes to budget time.
And that provided the introductory activities with a large number of people, and then they moved on to a few other little interesting things that I thought... I want to jump to this one because
let me guess. Marijuana?
Marijuana. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can't go to any meeting without talking about marijuana.
Well, but
days.
This one was extraordinary because the residual out of the decisions that were made there were talked about at some point, and then very often it was about with a question like, what was the mayor thinking?
Well, there were two things about marijuana on the agenda, Mike. There was one Mayor DeVilbiss that created alternate seats for a marijuana board. This is doubling the size of an already 17-member board, which is going to be fun to watch. So they'll have alternates for every single seat.
But these two things seem to be joined very, very much because there was all this energy and all the time the mayor was putting into selecting for this board. But then... The second piece, which was to suggest that there be a ballot proposition when you haven't even had a meeting of the board.
To do away with any type of an advisory question, actually.
So what does this
say? To prohibit marijuana.
What does this say to those people who are going to be meeting in that committee?
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, that's pretty much what the assembly said to the mayor's resolution when they said, this is way too premature. We haven't even seated our board. I think that I saw a bit of a tight jaw on the mayor. He really was, I guess he thought he was sure he was going to get support for this, or perhaps, you know, he'll be running in the fall. Maybe he was trying to let his supporters know that he was still on the same track. He doesn't like marijuana. He keeps referring to the fact that the borough did not pass it unanimously, although some cities did pass it, and it was extremely close vote. Palmer passed it, the proposition to have marijuana. So did Big Lake. So did Talkeetna. It was very, very close. So to say the borough wasn't in favor is sort of pretty thin there. You know, they did talk it up a lot. Lots to talk about marijuana, which is just, no matter where you go these days, that's what you hear. And they did vote it down unanimously. And, you know, could come back. Maybe he'll let them, you know, he is somebody who's tenacious, so perhaps sure. He'll bring it back. But I think it's pretty much decided. I think even Mr. Culligan tried to kick it down the road, which he does quite often with many subjects. But he didn't get any love for that either, so they did away with it. But I think once this marijuana board moves
The elegant statements were made by the newest member of the assembly, Dr. Doty, because what she did was suggest that she definitely had concerns. She referenced that she'd been in attendance and at a meeting and was able to gather some more information.
She went to a lot of meetings before she was seated, so she's kept up on
it. But she wasn't ready yet to say one thing or another. She was in the information gathering phase and saying there are concerns here that need to be addressed. What I didn't hear was that the jump in and do something quickly.
Well, I think that Dr. Doty's like most people that are knowledgeable on this, and they know that the studies are pretty inconclusive about marijuana. You know, I say on a regular basis, we have pounds and pounds of studies that tell us that our problems in the borough stem from alcohol and tobacco, with, you know, not a lot of lip service, but not a lot of action on programs and money spent on those two things. And I think Dr. Doty is in a unique position to know where the impacts to health will be. I think that she is concerned about it, but I think she is waiting to see what most states, I think most places, even City of Palmer, to say, you know, the state's going to grapple with this for a while, and they are going to set the floor for what's going to happen in the state, and that will be the time as we see, you know, what they're going to come up with to look to see whether we want to do something a little tighter. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. They have until August to actually set the ballot language for what could come up. So I'm not so sure this won't come back again, or the mayor may not bring it back again.
Well, at least then moving on, the assembly is going to remain high above the audience because they were not willing to go along with Assemblyperson Jim Sykes' suggestion that they go down amongst the people.
Yeah, that was an interesting discussion. First of all, did the mayor move right away to stop debate, and then he was overridden by that vote to not even have, he didn't want to have debate on it, I think. I'm not sure if it was the mayor. I probably shouldn't point that finger, but it happened so quickly, I barely saw it. It was under unfinished business, and somebody right away, and I thought it was the mayor, it could have been someone else, moved to just not have debate and vote again on it.
But they did allow the debate.
They did. They overrode that. Halter and Arvin and Culligan voted to close the debate, I think, but they were overridden by the rest of the majority. They did have a discussion on it, and there's been some discussion on Facebook about it, and at the end of the day they did vote it down. Doty and Jim Sykes and Matthew Beck did vote to support it, but I think what was missing from this resolution, and there will be those that don't agree with me, I think what's been said is that, you know, it would cost money and it would be disruptive to do it for the 13-week trial period that Assemblymember Sykes had proposed for it. I think what was missing from the debate was a compromise on the time that they wanted to do this test. Uh-huh. And also to say, you know, I think most people had it in their head they were going to move everything for the assembly and then move everybody back for the planning commission and everything else. And I would have liked to have seen a compromise, and there it says, let's move it to the floor, let's leave it here for X amount of time, let's have everybody use it, planning commission, all the meetings here, transportation, everybody, and see how it works. But that didn't happen, and again, this could come back again, too. I think that Mr. Sykes makes an excellent point about it, you know, that there is some disconnect with members of the public that are sitting down there. Now, the clerk did say one of the concerns that Assemblywoman Doty had was if the podium isn't handicapped accessible, and the clerk has been working on that, and there is to be a new podium that will take it. But, my takeaway from this is it's just a poor design. I think the addition was put on very fast. There wasn't a lot of process or public input into the design. That's not the fault of a lot of the people that are sitting in those chairs right now. It was something that was done. There were some challenges because of where the old building was and the way they built out into the courtyard. Mm-hmm. In the rearview mirror, which is always easier, it's just a poor design. And whether they can come up with some type of a modification down the road or some type of compromise or go back to this particular thing of a test that will, suit everybody, I think that's worth looking at again. Now, is it worth looking at when you've got a budget hanging out the door right now that's going to be pretty hard to get through? We're right here at the end. There's a legislative session going on. There's a lot going on right now. Maybe the timing's a little off, but I think it's still a discussion worth having, and I think you probably could get a compromise vote on it if it was refigured a little bit, but that's just my bird's eye view.
Yeah. Well, it's close enough to do that.
So that was kind of the crux of it. Did I miss one big thing?
Well, we talked a little bit about the borough manager.
Ah.
But I that deserves a little more attention because...
Oh, at the final comments?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I found that to be strange, in part because the manager's been around for a while. There certainly are some relatively new members. There's one very new member on the assembly, but this process of going down to Juneau and how you deal with things, it's been worked out.
Well, there's really a whole new assembly. There's only two people on now that have been there since Mr. Moosey was hired. So, everybody knows the job of the manager is to keep four people happy.
What was he looking for?
Well, I think what he was trying to do was try to solve a problem before it happened. There has been a lot of tension between some assembly members on who's supposed to speak for the borough. There has been, it brought up several times that the mayor takes a lot of leeway speaking for the borough speaking for the assembly when there hasn't been instruction for him to do so. I will say, being in the middle of a legislative session on something I'm advocating for, smoke-free workplaces, it's a fast-moving target, and a lot of things change from day to day. But I think what was happening, what the manager was trying to do, was get a feeling of what he was able to do and where the assembly was on at least two specific things, the bills I brought up earlier, because he was going to be called to testify. Our delegation calls not only the school superintendent, but the manager and people down a lot to testify on bills that they're shepherding through. And I think he was trying to get a feel for the lay of the land on what he could say. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he got that answer. I think there was a lot of problems with a letter that was written couple of years ago from the Fish and Game Commission, and I think actually Mr. Culligan made some really good points about the fact that they were trying to keep the politics out of it so they could concentrate on the science on it.
Right.
So I don't know. This isn't the end of this discussion either. I think the manager's trying to stay out of trouble. I don't think he got a lot of help with that. I didn't see a lot of lifelines out there. I don't think he got very clear instructions on what he's supposed to do. And it's, we're at the last third of the session, and he'll only get to probably talk to him a couple more times before the end of the session because things will really start moving. But, yeah, it's sort of typical of the process, their process.
Well, let's slip back over then to the school board meeting, which happened last night.
Mm.
It's hard to say that anything was more important than the selection of the new school board member. So.
Right. Well, they did have everybody there, and they did give... There was something rather important. They did pass their tentative budget.
That's true.
I mean, what they know with what they have right now. They are still asking the borough for a 3% increase, which they asked for last year. Didn't quite get there. They made a little compromise with keeping some funds, holdover funds that they had. They do have a nice reserve, not what it should be, not by the 10% the state, or the 20%, I think, the state allows you to have. And they're going to be spending about half of it, the way it looks like, if the one-time money isn't put back into the budget and a few other things by what they know. Based on what they know, they did pass a budget. I thought a few things were missing in discussion on that, you know, and again, there's a lot of conversations that go on in the background, but I didn't hear any real questions about how are there new positions, are there new employees, if there's new positions. I'm troubled and about the fact that they're opening another school and now they're going to have at least two or three brand new schools, and they haven't talked about any increases to their O&M department. I mean, they really are going to need more people to keep these buildings maintained so they don't have a lot of deferred maintenance down the road. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's actually been addressed. And maybe, again, those conversations are going on, but they didn't really get into the nuts and bolts of the budget. I know they've, in all fairness, they've had lots of presentations.
Right.
And the budget is online. I will say that. They've been doing a really good job of keeping it online and updated. In fact, the update that was given last night, I got a note from Luke Fulp, their financial business manager, and he said it'll be there in the morning. So it'll be on this today. You'll be able to look and see what they're doing. So they're walking the talk of their transparency. But I would have liked to seen a few more questions from the school board, just, you know, on those basic things that people seem to ask me a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that'll come back. This will not be their last discussion. They'll now take it to the assembly because they're under a time crunch to get that done. Perhaps assembly will ask those questions, and they'll have a final budget that they'll have to approve too.
And I had a slightly different take on it. I thought they were appropriately pointing out that they had done work, and this had been discussed up until this time, maybe not in a lot of detail. But because of the kind of tentative nature, that what they were doing is saying, we're not going to get into a lot of detailed discussion right now because we know we're waiting for some decisions which will affect this, and at that point we'd pour into it.
Well, I think the staffing within the schools is right on with that. They work on what they call a bubble where they keep money because at the last minute they want to keep class sizes down, and people, you know, they made a comment about 30 first graders and a school just not, they have to hire new teachers and move people around. And I think that part of it, they really do very, very well. I think Dr. Parmo's responded well to those situations and does a good job. I think a more general question about the cost of the new schools, of opening them, and that portion of it could have been asked, but that's just me. And we'll see if it is asked and if it's answered at another meeting. But I think where you want to go, Mike, is the election of the school board member.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because it has two components. First of all, the selection was made, and it was kind of interesting. There were five people.
Six.
Six people that came in, and five people were there,
online.
One person online.
It was for CD. It's an appointment of CD that was vacated and will be good. They will hold until the next election, which is October.
Right. And to cut to the chase, someone was chosen. His name was Kelsey
Trimmer,
and he was sworn right in, and he was up there. The only thing, and I think we shared something of a reaction, was the process where I was surprised, certainly, when they decided they were going to vote. They had heard from everyone, and they were going to vote on this. They spent about 10 minutes. Part of it was looking at the technology of how they were voting. And but part of it was having this discussion up there, which seemed inappropriate to have, where you had all of the school board members and the staff talking up there in a public meeting about what they were going to do, when it could have either been done with, say, the president of the board and superintendent and an assistant, and then they would have spoken about it this way. But it was kind of awkward because you had this audience sitting there. And then when it all was said and done, they said, and this was a secret, at least at that moment in time, it was not transparent. And I could understand some reasons why you may want to, as you're going through, not reveal, because they used a complicated process. But in any case, they later on said, well, the minutes of who voted will be there. And so I thought that was worthy of some attention so that they could get through and do it again if they have to in the future without this kind of awkward thing. That was my sense.
Yeah, I'm very uncomfortable with the way that they're doing it. And it's sort of hard to, I'm trying to think that the problems really were technical problems because it's not their first rodeo. They've done a couple of appointments now. Their process is pretty much the same up to this point, and then it sort of goes off the rails. I'm not sure I agree with the secret balloting at all. In fact, you know, the borough attorney has weighed in on the other side about secret votes, and he says it's not to be done. And in fairness to the school district, they are going to reveal in the minutes who voted for who. I know it puts them in an uncomfortable situation to vote against each other, so to speak, and to figure out.
They do it all the time.
But they do it all the time, right. And I sort of think they got to get their big girls and boys pants on and just do it. I think they do such a good job, and they make such a point of trying to be transparent that they sort of stumble on this one thing. And I would hope, and it'll happen again when they do an appointment, that they have a finer, refined system to do it when it comes to the voting part. Now, you know, the application process and the questions that they give to candidates, they have pretty well refined. In my mind, they ended up definitely with the top three candidates as far as their questions that were answered and their actual in-person interviews. So that speaks to a good process. But this part where they're secret balloting and have the HR director up there and so many people behind the podium and the public being shut out, I'm not comfortable with that. So we'll see if they take a different approach to it next time. I think that there was some concerns raised from parts of the audience, and I think that the school district does seem to react and try to do better on those things. So we'll see how it goes. I think that it's interesting that there's so many vacations of these seats, and there's so much that they have to take up each and every time. But Mr. Trimmer did, he comes from an educating family. He's a septic pumper. You know, he's got a lot from the occupational side of things, so to speak. He'll bring a different flavor to the table for sure. I spoke to him a little bit after. And, you know, it's going to be a different look. It always is with a different look of a different school board. There are now three guys on the school board. So the balance is a little different. And so we'll see. He seems to be very enthusiastic. He attends both the Wasilla and the Palmer chambers, and it seems to be known in the community a little bit. He's a pretty young guy, has a young 14-month-old and a 14-year-old of his own. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's got good intentions, and we'll see how it shakes out.
All right. Well, we have 1 minute left. Any last comments to sum up all of these two things?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's always sort of overload these weeks, Mike. I know I'm looking at you and you're looking a little tired. I'm a little tired. There's a lot of information going through, and the podcast will be up. And I encourage people to listen to the podcast of both these meetings. They were interesting, even though they were long a little bit for us. And when you're there, donate, because that's what keeps us both here.
Sure. And tomorrow we'll be doing Valley Edition and bringing a focus more a little bit to the things that are happening in Juneau that are affecting, that don't stay in Juneau. Things happen in Juneau and they come out and they affect us here in the Valley. And that's just the way it is. So, well, thank you very much, Citizen Lobbyist, for coming in today.